Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, December 1st, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
December 1st?
I know.
Oh my goodness.
It's like getting down to like the low 80s here. It's getting cold.
Oh.
Sorry.
Half of our listeners very upset. And I'm James Marino from Broadway Stars Broadway Radio.
Oh, you're switching up the intro there. I like it.
So first up, Beth, Level, and other principals return to Bandstand on Broadway.
Yeah, yesterday the producers of the Broadway-bound production of new musical Bandstand announced more principals joining the production, or more accurately, rejoining the production, as all six of the new cast members were part of the Paper Mill Playhouse production that ran last year when the show was actually called The Bandstand. I don't know what the article The really makes a big difference in the title or not, but whatev. Leading the way is Tony winner Beth Level, who returns as Mrs. Adams, along with Joe Carroll, Brandon James Ellis, James Nathan Hopkins, Jeff Packard, and Joey Pero. Of course, all six reunite with the show's previously announced leads, Corey Cott and Laura Osnes. By the way, this won't be the last time that we talk about Beth Level on today's episode, so stay tuned for that. Tickets for Bandstand went on sale to the general public yesterday, and as a reminder, the show begins performances at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater on March 31st with an April 26th opening night. Bandstand is directed and choreographed by Hamilton Tony winner Andy Blankenbuehler and features music by Richard Oberacker and lyrics by Oberacker and Robert Taylor.
All right, next up in the news, Ari Grainer and others join MCC's Yen.
Yeah, yesterday, the MCC Theater announced that stage and screen star Ari Grainer would be joining the previously announced Lucas Hedges in the American premiere of Anna Jordan's new play, Yen. Also joining the company is Stefania Owen and Justice Smith. In the play, Bobby, played by Smith, and Hinch, played by Hedges, are home alone. Days are filled by streaming porn, playing video games, and watching the world go by. Their mom, played by Grainer, who I can't believe she's old enough to play somebody's mom, rarely visits these days, and it's chaos when she does. But when animal-loving neighbor Jenny, played by Owen, takes an interest in their dog, Taliban, yes, their dog is named Taliban,
okay.
The boys discover a world far beyond what they know. Yen explores a childhood lived without boundaries. Yen is directed by Tripp Coleman, as is every Broadway play as mandated by the new Equity Off-Broadway contract, and begins performances on January 12th of 2017 ahead of a January 30th opening night and is currently scheduled through February 19th at the Lucille Lortel Theater. Tickets are now officially on sale.
That sounds wild. It's kind of like Home Alone for teenagers.
Could be. Yeah. And the thing is like, I can't imagine Ari Grainer is old enough. I mean, she's in her early 30s. So it's just weird to think of her playing a character who has kids of that age. And these actors are all in their mid to late teens. So, I mean, she had kids young. I guess it could have happened, but it's still, whoa, wait, what? She's younger than I am. She shouldn't have kids, period, let alone old enough to lead a play. Okay.
It's interesting because this is some of the things that are talked about. I've seen it a lot in the press on the Hollywood side in film and television where women feel like they get pushed into these things and then they hit, you know, mid to late 30s and they can't get cast in anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually seen and heard Laura Benanti talk about it a lot. You know, she's in her mid to late 30s and it's almost like once you hit 30, you start playing moms, but then you're too old to play the wife of an actor in his 50s. So it's a weird, bad, misogynistic double standard there, at least with this. Ari Grainer is 33 years old. The actors that are playing her sons are in their mid-teens. So it actually makes chronological sense if she had kids, you know, at 18, 19 years old. So it's not actually that much of a stretch, but it is a problem that many actresses face both on stage and screen. But like you said, definitely more on screen than anywhere else.
And next up, Nick Kroll wants to say, oh, hello to Bernie Sanders and President Obama. Now, I will be very upset about this because I had like some supermodel who was not funny at all when I went to see Oh Hello.
Who did you have? You don't remember her name?
No, I don't remember her name. And in fact, she was sitting right next to us.
Oh,
was
wow.
Like, I was like, why are they pulling her up on stage? And it turned out that she was a celebrity plant type of person.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, yesterday I told you that the show Oh Hello on Broadway had extended again, this time until January 22nd, and that the show nightly features celebrity special guests on Gil Faison and George St. Geiglin's cable access show Too Much Tuna. On the red carpet at the Gotham Awards on Monday night, Oh Hello star Nick Kroll said that he was hoping that they could get members of the band Steely Dan, which is apparently is a running joke in the show, as well as Senator Bernie Sanders and President Barack Obama to visit the dining room table or whatever it is that they sit around for Too Much Tuna. Since the show is currently scheduled to end 2 days after Obama turns the keys to the White House over to Donald Trump, he's got some free time. So, James, knowing how well President Obama does at like the White House Correspondents' Dinner or on the Mark Maron podcast or Between Two Ferns, I have a feeling if he did take them up on their offer to come and visit Too Much Tuna, I have a feeling he'd kill it.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if you watch, I don't think you and I have ever talked about Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO.
No, I can't stomach it.
You can't stomach it, but Bill went on this campaign for years to get Obama on Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO, and the president finally did it a couple of weeks ago. And he was great, and Obama was as his killer. I'm going to miss him. Going to miss the Obamas.
Oh, aren't we all?
51 days.
No, geez.
All right. Next up. Thursday's reminders. What are they?
Not only is today the first day of the last month of one of the worst years in recent memory, but there are also some actual fun things happening today that we want you to remember. First, the Broadway production of A Bronx Tale officially opens over at the Longacre Theater. We talked about this opening earlier in the week, so I just wanted to remind you of that and give you some insight into the production from our good friend Michael Riedel over at the New York Post. In a column posted yesterday morning, he again wrote about Robert De Niro's role as co-director of this new musical. He had previously written about the tension that led to four-time Tony winner Jerry Zaks being chosen to direct over two-time Oscar winner who directed the original film, and how De Niro became an official part of the production as the co-director. While the headline of this new article says that De Niro is, quote, fussing with things, and that kind of gives a negative connotation, but actually, the article itself sounds like the acting legend is doing what he is probably there to do. Yes, he apparently is having designers change everything from flowers to hats so that they are more authentic. He is obviously very well acquainted with the world of mobsters, either on stage or screen, so I guess that makes sense. But most importantly, he is giving many master classes to the cast members who are very excited to learn from one of the greatest actors of all time. One of Riedel's sources says, Jerry's the pro, but Bob seems to be enjoying himself. He's making his contributions. Riedel also mentions that the show is quietly setting itself up to become a big hit. As we've discussed, the show is grossing over $700,000 per week during previews, and production staffers are calling it a, quote, classic donut show. Riedel admits he didn't know what that meant. I didn't either. But what it means is that Manhattan is the center of the donut, and nobody in the center of that donut in Manhattan, generally the elite theater crowd, really is all that interested in the show and is bothering to come. But in the suburbs of the city, the cake of the donut, this is a title and a story that is bringing in legions of fans. Will that continue after tonight's reviews come out? Only time will tell. But we will bring you everything the critics have to say on tomorrow's episode. James, they talked in this article, both Riedel's sources and Riedel himself, that Jersey Boys was a lot like this too. In previews, the Manhattan crowd wasn't coming, but the suburb crowds were. And then when the reviews came out and they were so good, that gave the people who were the normal traditional theater intelligentsia license to come and see this show. And then it ran for 12 years. Obviously, no one's predicting that this will run for 12 years. I hope it does, but that's so hard to foresee. But from the very beginning, we've talked about how this is very much comparable to the Jersey Boys story. And it just seems like those comparisons keep coming along with this show in every possible way.
I think that's entirely relevant. It has all happened before and it will all happen again for those of you who know that quote. I am very interested to see what happens here because I don't think that The show that I saw on Paper Mill is on par with Jersey Boys. I was right. big fan of Jersey Boys, and I don't really recall what the situation was when Jersey Boys came out. I seem to have seen it very early in its run and was a fan from the beginning. But yeah. We'll see what happens here. We wish all these casts nothing but the best.
Yeah, and it's an Alan Menken score. So anytime we have that, as I think I said on Monday's show, that's awesome. And it's got a really cool cast. So I'm, good luck to him. If it's already doing this well during previews, if it gets the reviews that it hopes to get, I'm sure that'll only bolster it for the coming months and years.
And let's hope that it doesn't have the same track record as Jersey Boys, as you reported yesterday in the show, with the legal problems of clearing rights.
Well, fortunately, Chaz Palminteri, who wrote the original one-man show, the movie, and is the book writer for the musical, I think he's got himself covered since it is his autobiographical story. So I think they're good on rights. But moving on to something else that's happening today, this one's happening across the country, not just in New York, and it's happening in movie theaters, and that's the screening of last summer's Roundabout Theater Company revival of Bach and Harnack's She Loves Me. You'll remember that this was taped for a live stream on Broadway HD back in June, and then word came out that they would re-edit using the best camera angles and different takes from a handful of recordings, and then that version would live on the streaming service in perpetuity. This is our first opportunity to see that final version of the film. The show obviously is littered with stars out the wazoo, including Laura Benanti, who we've already talked about, Zachary Levi, Jane Krakowski, Gavin Creel, and more. James, if you remember, I think we were in agreement here that we both thought the actual theatrical product of this live stream, and you saw it on stage, was fantastic, but we felt that there was something missing in the camera translation that didn't really capture the excitement and the energy and the bustle on the small screen, whether that was a computer monitor or a TV or whatever it was. I'm hoping that that'll be fixed for tonight's big screen broadcast. As always, if you guys go, please send us updates on how many people are in your theaters and what the reaction was. That's always fun to see how these things do across the country. I will be at the AMC at Disney Springs here in Orlando if anyone is in the neighborhood and wants to drop by. That way we'll know that I won't be the only person in the theater.
All right, Ham for Ham returns with a live stream.
Yeah, also happening today is the temporary return of the Ham for Ham show. Today at 1 p.m. at the Richard Rogers, the lottery performance will return for a special Hamilton mixtape celebration in honor of the album dropping on Friday. However, if you can't make it to Midtown and don't want to wait for Howard Sherman to post the video on YouTube, the Hamilton YouTube page will have a live stream beginning right at 1 New York time. No word on who will be performing, but if they're going to go through the trouble of having a live stream, I have a feeling that it's going to be worth the effort. We will have a link to the live stream page in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. Now, James, real quick, which Hamilton mixtape artist would you prefer to see at the Ham for Ham show? Chance the Rapper, Wiz Khalifa, or Nas?
Oh, Wiz Khalifa.
Really? You busted that one out like you actually know who these people are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Good for you.
So, I didn't. I saw the press release and I glanced at it quickly and then moved on. I didn't realize it was a Ham for Ham outside. I thought it was inside the Richard Rogers.
I am looking at the press release right now. I do not think it says one way or the other. It doesn't say, but I will say that the thumbnail for the live stream video is the outdoor sign of the Richard Rogers that has the Hamilton mixtape. So I guess that I am assuming a little bit.
You know, it makes more sense the way you describe it. I mean, I was just looking at it and I was like, they're not going to invite the media to stand outside, are they? Really? Yeah, because it's been kind of crummy, cold and rainy all day today. And I don't think I think it's going to be the same tomorrow. I thought they would just do it inside, but I just made that leap in my mind.
Well, the other thing, too, is that from the very beginning, the Ham for Ham shows, and one of the reasons that even though I've not been the full bore Hamilton obsessive that a lot of people have been, one of the reasons that I loved Ham for Ham is that they really weren't for anybody other than the fans. I mean, that's what they were there for, whether especially the ones in person, but also the ones online. These are something for the fans. So whatever it is, I have a feeling that they'll find a way to make this special for the fans. If they're going to bring it back for one day only, I have a feeling it'll be worth the wait.
You know what else is special?
many, many things, but go ahead and take it wherever you want to go, James.
Christopher Rice is hosting a Tappy Christmas special.
Yes, finally. Now that Thanksgiving is out of the way, it is officially acceptable for people to turn their attentions to Christmas. To get you started on that right holiday footing, I wanted to recommend a new Tappy video from Christopher Rice, who is a Broadway veteran of Book of Mormon, and he does a lot of these videos where he brings Broadway performers together to sing fun songs and do tap dance numbers. I think last Christmas he did one with Laura Osnes. Well, this year he is this video he's doing is him hosting a like 60s, 70s variety show type of Christmas special that they used to have. And it's complete with a slew of fantastic Broadway ladies, including Queen Leslie Margarita, Mara Davi, Eloise Kropp, Kara Lindsay, and the aforementioned Tony winner Beth Level and more. They all sing some of their favorite Christmas songs and serve up some awesome tap dancing. I'm a sucker for tap dancing. So head over to the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com and check this one out. I just smiled throughout the whole thing. The video itself is about 7-8 minutes, and then they've got a couple minutes of outtakes and bloopers. There's some great stuff with Beth Level getting interrupted by some banging at the studio they're at. Eloise Kropp just keeps doing the same dance move over. It's so much fun. So I totally recommend that one. And then all of the stuff that Christopher Rice does with those Tappy videos.
So Beth Level hitting us twice today. Is there going to be a special episode of the Patty and Emily podcast?
I don't. They're big fans of Beth Level, I take it.
Oh, they are.
Okay. I mean, as everybody should be.
All right. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your Thursday with us, and we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.